and welcome to F1 Explains. This is the official F1 pod dedicated to explaining the sport of Formula One. Hello, Christian Hugo.
Hello, Katie Osborne. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. It's always lovely to be here with you on a lovely old F1 Explains. As you say, we do like to answer a question. And if you've got one that you'd like to send us, you can email it us or you can voice note us. And you can send it to F1explains@F1.com.
Conrad in Wisconsin, also Sophie and a bunch of others have written in to ask about this week's topic. And it is a topic that I initially thought, is there really much to talk about here with the safety car? But it turns out a lot of people are curious about the safety car. It's often at the front of the race, but never wins. We all know that. You might be surprised to hear all the things that the safety car and its driver have to do when they're called to action. And I was even surprised thinking about what the safety car might have another responsibility to do.
It has a lot of responsibilities. And very shortly, we will hear from this man.
The light system is up here. That's the light system. It's the flashlight, the yellow lights. The yellow lights are going on.
Okay, so you press this yellow button and your lights above you are yellow. And what does that mean?
Safety car deployed.
That's Katie. It's Formula One safety car driver Bernd Meilander. I have been talking to him and we will hear it in just a few minutes' time.
Looking forward to that. And you know what, Christian? Your history of F1 is really outstanding. And I oftentimes learn so much just from you and your history. And so I do
That's kind. Thank you.
Yeah. So I do have a question for you. What was significant about the 1973 Canadian Grand Prix?
1973, you say?
Canadian Grand Prix.
I know this one. It's the race Fernando Alonso made his debut.
Anything else?
I don't think it's that, is it? Poor Fernando. No.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I was going to say, I had hoped for at least a laugh,
you.
I'll be honest. I had hoped for at least a laugh.
You know what? You say it with confidence, and I just said, That's right. That's right. That's what happened in 1973. We all know math is hard for me. but we also know that Fernando has a little age to him. But we know that if you do the math, that's not...
No.
That is not right. Anyway, so it was, in fact, the first time a safety car or pace car, as they called it back then, was used in Formula One. It was a bright yellow Porsche 914 car, fans. It actually went a bit wrong. The safety car came out in the wrong place and it caused a bit of chaos for the result of the race. And, you know, you sit there and you say that is not the debut that anybody wants when they go onto an F1 track for the first time.
Yes, the safety car got off to a rough start. But back then, it wasn't really a proper thing like it is today. And it took until 1993 for it to be officially introduced with proper rules. And it has been present at every Grand Prix since.
Yeah, and its basic job has been the same. You know, when it rains heavily or when there's crash that leaves debris all over the track, the F1 cars really do need to slow down for safety reasons. That makes sense. Cue the name. The safety car is then sent out. All the F1 cars have to line up behind it and drive at a much slower pace until that track dries up or until the debris is cleared. But the bigger question here is who decides when the safety car is sent out? It is the FIA race director in race control. That is who decides. They have camera feeds, data, and radio comms with the marshals around the circuit to help them make that decision. And once they've reviewed everything, Christian, they decide whether the safety car is needed. Later, we'll talk more about how that safety car can turn a race on its head, which we know can happen. But I think we should hear from our guests first because, Christian, you, my friend, have been a bit busy.
Yeah, and I did like this one. I really like this one. You know, like we all watch an F1 race and it's like, oh, the safety car's out. And Katie, guess what happened? I got to be in the safety car, be next to the safety car. Like,
Isn't that unbelievable?
With actual Bernd Meilander, who's a legend. His name's been banded about Formula One for decades, like ever since I've been watching it. Like, I don't want to make him feel old, but my first sort of season watching properly, I think, was 2000. My earliest memories were sort of 98, 99. And that was when he started. He's driven the safety car since 2000. Amazing. So, no, I loved going to see the safety car in person, loved meeting Bernd in person. This was a lot of fun to record.
Christian, you talk about when he started, and Miami was, if you do that quick math, Miami 2024 was Bernd's 461st race. I just real quickly want to just take a nod to the fact that he has packed his suitcase and traveled around the world 461 times. I am blown away by that fact. Anyways, it was his first time being interviewed by Christian Hugel on F1 Explains.
Well, welcome to the back of the FIA garage here at the Miami International Autodrome. We are in the little bit that leads out into the pit lane on an evening of the F1 race weekend, so things are a little bit calmer. And we found a bit of a legend in these parts. Bernd Mailander, safety car driver, welcome to F1 Explains. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Well, hello together. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
We are going to talk all about your job, all about this safety car, because I've been watching the sport for a good number of years and you've been such an integral part of it. So very excited to talk to you. Before we talk a little bit about your journey, let's talk about this machine in front of us. So if you follow me, we're attached to producer Chris and ourselves, so we'll all make sure we walk at the same time. But this is the safety car, your home for the weekend. Now, there are two safety cars in Formula One nowadays, aren't there? Talk to us a little bit about this one.
Well, yeah, if I talk about the red one, it's the AMG GT Black Series. It's a limited edition, just a few numbers, 730 horsepower, 800 newton meters of torque. It's a 4-liter V8 double turbo engine. So a quite strong car. The GT Black Series, it's built it for a racetrack. It's a track car. It's the quickest safety car what we ever had so far. It's really nice to drive. I have to say one thing about the other car, about the Aston Martin Vantage, what we don't have here at the track, but they swap, so they're sharing this 50-50.
Of course.
And the new Vantage is also a fantastic car. I really have to say that, because we are neutral on the FIA, so I have to talk about both cars. So both cars are absolutely fantastic.
So even if I asked you if you had a favorite, you wouldn't tell me anyway.
Well, I would tell you, I would, for a track car, if I want to buy a track car, I would go for the Black Series. If I want to drive on a normal road, we are here in Miami, to driving down the nice boulevard at the Miami Beach, I would go for the Aston.
I tell you what, that is a brilliant diplomatic answer. Fantastic. And it's only when you get up close to it do you realise how impressive it is, with the shiny alloys, the rear wing, the great big air ducts at the front. It looks like the sort of car that if you saw in the streets or at a sort of convention, you'd be like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, this car, it's really built, it developed on a racetrack, for a racetrack. You can see with the big rear wing, even it's a flap in the back where it's going up and down for to create more downforce. The brakes, the ground effect of the car, the flaps in the front. So this car is really built with a massive downforce package, with an aero package, what is absolutely fine for a racetrack.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this car's job. To go back to basics for a moment, Bernd, for people newer to Formula One, what is the purpose of the safety car?
Well, the purpose of the safety car is, if something happens during a race, rain conditions or heavy rain conditions, let's say, heavy rain conditions, some debris on the track, sometimes easily just a car stopped on an unexpected area, we have to send some marshals on the track. We can't do this without a safety car deployment. So the safety car is there to make the race, let's say, safer. The Formula One cars are not, if the safety car deployed, the Formula One cars are not allowed to overtake. They have to line up behind me. They have to stay in line. They have to accept my speed, even if they're complaining the safety car is too slow. Well, that's one point. So we have to be slow in that moment, because there's a reason behind. And that's proper teamwork together with the race director, with his team in race control, and the safety car. I'm the driver with my co-driver together. We get the information from race control and we're reporting a lot to race control, and it's the decision of the race director.
And at that point, you're the boss, not them, so you set the pace.
Well, I set the basic pace, and then it's up to the race director. He said, Bernd, just, for example, just slow down a little bit. We need more time to grab all the bits and pieces on the track. We have to send a few more marshals on the track, and that's up to the race director. And he tells me also then the speed and the best radio connection is, if he tells me, Bernd, now you can speed up again. So that's always the best one.
And you've also just touched upon it as to why it's brought in, but of course one of the most frequent examples is for an accident where the circuit gets neutralized, where the racing effectively pauses, and at that point that's when you come on. How important is that for you to get out there when there's been an accident?
Well, absolutely. It's important for all the drivers, for all the people that are involved in the whole procedure, for the marshals, for everything. If you We have many more opportunities. We have the virtual safety car. We have the proper safety car, like here where we're standing just now in front of. We can show a red flag. What if you look to braces 20, 15 years, 15 or 10 years ago already, where we even the race was still running and the marshal's been working on the car on the track. So now we learned a lot. We never stop learning, and we try to make it as safe as possible. And now we have all the opportunities and all the regulations to make it as safe as possible.
And I'm not just interested in this beautiful car that sits here in the evening sun of the Miami pit lane. I'm also interested in you, Bernd. What's your background?
Well, my background is I'm 52 years old so far, and I started to work for the FIA in 1999. I was racing from 1991 onwards until 2005 in different categories, sports cars, touring cars, for example, DTM, ITC, FIA GT1 World Championship. I did Le Mans, Nürburgring 24 Hours.
That is Daytona. Quite a racing CV. That is fantastic.
Correct. Yeah, and I get a phone call on 99 from Charlie Whiting during the San Marino Grand Prix in Imola.
And we should just say at this point, Charlie Whiting is the former FIA race director who we sadly lost a few years ago, but a legend of Formula One, a phenomenal race director.
Absolutely. So it was I was quite surprised when I saw this number on my cell phone at that time. And he asked me, "Bernd, we're looking for a new safety car driver. Can you come to my office? I want to talk to you." And that was the entry to be still 26 years later, to be still here in Formula One. And that's fantastic. So that's my official 25th year in the safety car for Formula One. And for me, it feels absolutely great, I have to say, to be still here, to see the development of every year, from the rules, from the safety, from all this perspective. It's quite cool, I have to say.
It is very, very cool. But you're not alone in there, are you? You have somebody next to you. Who are they? Do you know who they are? Or are they, have you never been introduced? You know, who are they?
No, we are really a high professional. And yes, no, we have permanent co-drivers for the different categories. The FIA Formula One safety car, we call it like this, but we're also doing Formula 2, Formula 3, the Porsche Super Cup most of the time. We're doing the F1 Academy races, and we have for each category different co-drivers. So even if someone gets ill, we can swap to them because we have more co-drivers that they understand and know what they have to do. The co-driver is very important because he has a lot of things to do, like communication, like the lights, four eyes, four ears, see and hear more. And to be working on in Formula One, you have to be a high professional, and that's what we are doing, to have even more than only one co-driver. If someone gets ill, we can swap them to another one.
Now, Formula One has got some of the most technologically advanced ways of covering the sport, you know, of any motorsport in the world. The cameras are phenomenal. There are so many camera points. But for all the cameras on track going to the race director, sometimes having eyes and ears on the ground, on the track, is vital. I'm guessing that's a big part of what you do. And also, you're busy driving the car. So what does the person next to you do when you're out on the track?
Well, the person next to me, he's confirming everything by radio. So it's you have to think about the radio contact. You can't tell a big story. You have to put all important information in a really short answer or in a short report to the race director and to the deputy director. So this is very important to know how you have to talk. What I said before, four eyes and ears, see and hear more about debris on the track. Even if there's start to raining, I'm the safety car deployed. We have to report how strong, how heavy is the rain. I report how is the drivability. And so the co-driver, it's really important thing, because you have to drive quick. I have to drive quick behind the steering wheel, so I have to be focused on my driving skill. And so it's good to have someone next to me who takes my reporting messages to the race director.
We'll come back to you driving quick in a moment, but that's important to say, isn't it? You're not just out there to neutralise the race or slow the cars down. You're also out there to feed back. What are the sort of things you are feeding back?
Well, absolutely. There's one part where you have to to read the race so that to know what will happen or what happens, what is the procedure step by step. You have to you have to know the experience in a way, what will happen or what can happen, and you have to share this information with the other people on the radio. And that's quite important, because sometimes you're driving on the limit. It's not so easy then to talk. So then it's up to the co-driver, and what I said before, the teamwork of the race director, of a race control with the race director, the reporting to the medical car, it's very important. So that teamwork has to work in a really high professional way.
We've just seen a Sauber get wheeled behind us. Now, these Formula One cars are frankly ridiculously quick, aren't they? They are
absolutely
insane. So, you know, you see other cars that aren't Formula One cars on the same track that we're used to watching them, and in comparison, they look slow. They look like they're doing a slow speed in the pit lane. They're not. They're doing what you'd do on the motorway or on the highway. When you're out on the track, you know, it looks slower than an F1 car. It is slow, but it's not slow, is it? Because, you know, you're not taking this car for a gentle Sunday afternoon drive. You are having to go flipping quickly, aren't you?
Well, let's say from my point, when I can go as quick as I want, and so if everything is ready on the track, we're just doing another warm-up lap, let's say. Yes, I'm going flat out. Flat out means in a car like this, and believe me, this car, or both safety cars, are really quick track cars. Mm. But compared to a Formula One car, just to give you a number, it's round about 9 seconds slower per kilometer. And if you think about every racetrack in the world, it's around about 5 kilometers plus minus, more plus than minus, but around about 5 kilometers. So it's 45 seconds, if I count right. Yeah, 45 seconds per lap. Is a Formula One car quicker than such a car like we see here in front of us? So that's unbelievable. And but that's why a Formula One calls Formula One.
It's even quicker than Valtteri Bottas on his bike, who has just gone past us in full Lycra, and he pulls it off on his bike. You're even quicker than Valtteri on his push bike, on his road bike, which is quite something, because I bet Valtteri can reach some speeds.
Absolutely. He's a really good biker, and he's always doing a couple of laps on Thursday. He's keeping his power in shape to get ready for the race weekend.
This is F1 Explains, and we are exploring the secrets of the FIA safety car with its driver, Bernd Mailander, and very soon, we will be climbing into the driver's seat, the actual driver's seat, if you will, to find out what kit the safety car has on board. But first, let's talk about how that car can totally transform the outcome of a race. Now, we've said the decision and the timing of when the safety car is deployed is up to the FIA race director. Their decision is all about safety. Now, they don't care who's winning, how much of a lead they have, or anything else. If the situation requires a safety car, that's what they're going to do. But it can have a huge impact on the outcome of any race. First, it means any gaps between the cars are closed up, right? Everyone has to line up nose to tail behind the safety car and wait for a restart. Second, it gives drivers a chance to make what's often called a cheap pit stop. Christian?
Yeah, let's explain that. When the safety car is on track, all the F1 cars have to slow right down. Bernd says earlier, they're about 45 seconds a lap slower behind the safety car. That's massive in Formula One terms. And any driver who makes a pit stop during a safety car period loses less time compared to their rivals, quite simply because the rest of the field is going slower. Now, the dream scenario for a driver who needs to change tyres is that the safety car is deployed just as they're approaching the pit entry, allowing them to quickly box, 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 and get back out on track, having lost minimal ground on their rivals.
But there will always be some drivers who can't make that quote-unquote cheap stop because they're either nowhere near the pit lane when the safety car comes out or because they're not due to stop. And Christian, I will say, as a pit reporter, this has often been very confusing in racing for us calling the races to try and figure out who's going to be coming in, who's not going to be coming in, and it all is truly dependent on that safety car.
Yeah, totally. And stay with us on this. Not every safety car deployment is the same. Sometimes the safety car comes out, picks up the race leader neatly, everyone lines up in race order behind them, sometimes the safety car is out for a couple of laps, sometimes it's longer, and it takes a while for all the F1 cars to get back in the right order. If it's like lap 53 of a 67 lap race,
yeah,
somebody could be a lap down, people are always mixed up in the order, and everything has to sort of sort itself out again. It could take a little bit of time.
And sometimes, as happened in Miami when Lando Norris won, the safety car came out of pit lane after Lando had gone past. So he was able to keep going at full speed, build a gap, make his quote-unquote cheap pit stop, and retain the lead. Max Verstappen, who was in P2 at that time, had to go slowly behind the safety car. Lando got lucky in some ways.
He did. But it was all totally within the regulations. And yeah, that is the sort of surprising thing that can happen when the safety car comes out. And strategists like our friend on the pod, Ruth Buscombe and Bernie Collins, they really show their talents for quick thinking in those moments.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. That is a role or a job, Christian, that I would not want to have.
Very quick thinking.
Yeah, right. Now, there have been loads of different safety cars over the years, including a couple of Lamborghinis, a Fiat, a Renault. Today, as Bert said earlier, there are two which share the job. A bright red AMG Mercedes and a dark green Aston Martin. And very few people have gotten to sit in either of the cars in either of the driver's seats. So just listen to how quickly you, Christian, said yes right here.
Bern, can we have a look inside? Would you mind showing us this car?
Absolutely. Where you want to sit? You want to sit on the driver's side? It's up to you.
Yes. Without question, I would like to sit on the driver's side. So let's open the door.
We don't go for a lap.
we'll run over Valtteri on his bike if we went for a lap. I'll get in. You go on the other side.
Okay.
In we go. I'm sat in the safety car. It's insane. Let's give Bern his microphone. Well, this is unbelievably cool. Talk us through what we can see here, Bernd.
To be honest, I feel not really comfortable.
You're in the wrong seat.
I'm in the wrong seat, yeah. Well, I switched the ignition on. So what can you see? Well, you can see in the end already a lot of things. We have two extra monitors inside. We have, I don't know if it's an iPad or not, but it looks like. So we have a big iPad and a small iPad. On the big iPad, we have usually a track map. Track map, what does it mean? It's a track map. It's a GPS map where we can see all the cars with a little dot around the circuit with the panel numbers, with the corner numbers. And even if there's a crash on the track, this part of the track goes to yellow because they're showing a yellow flag on the light panels. The marshal shows a light panel. And we also get the information. If there's an impact of a car, we get the information from the G-forces. So we can see, already without seeing any other screen, okay, there was a big shunt. And on the little iPad, we can see the live feed, what we get by a Wi-Fi connection, where we get it on that screen.
So that sort of shows what the viewers at home will
correct,
see.
That's like a TV.
Wow.
So that's all good information, but in the end, the radio, what we are connected by the helmet to the race director, that's still the most important thing.
I tell you another thing that's just jumped out to me. So we have a mirror here, which you'd expect, like every car has. But then next to the mirror, there is a monitor in the shape of a mirror that's has what looks like, if I'm right, a high-definition camera looking behind. And
behind,
it's like an HD mirror. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, correct. That's a very important thing for the co-driver, that he can analyze which car is behind us without watching in the mirror. So that's much better for him to identify the cars behind, if the right car is behind us. It's important information. The TV, here we have some buttons. That's for the radio. That's our radio buttons, main radio, backup radio, same systems.
Big red buttons, these are.
Big red buttons for the co-driver and for sure for on my side. The light system is up here. That's the light system. It's the flashlight, the yellow lights. The yellow lights are going on if the safety car deploys.
Okay, so you press this yellow button and your lights above you are yellow. And what does that mean?
Safety car deployed.
And then white means?
That's an attention light.
Green?
If the car behind us are allowed to overtake me.
And blue?
That's the siren.
Wow.
That's the siren. And also you can see here which light is on. So now all lights are on.
It's such a phenomenal piece of technology. There's so many screens, so many buttons. For anyone who appreciates cars, a beautiful, shiny car. You mentioned you've been doing this job since the late 90s. You must... enjoy it still, to be you know, doing it for all these years. You must get an awful lot of enjoyment out of this job.
Well, yeah, but you know, if you're coming from racing, it's like if the new season starts, usually you get a new race car. And you're always looking forward to get this new race car.
A new toy,
correct, yeah. And still with 50 years, you're quite happy to get a new toy and to test it, to drive it. And for me, the incredible thing is what the engineers, what they are doing. The engineering developing every year something new, and it's getting quicker and quicker, and more technology getting into the cars. Let's say just about the suspension. If you drive a car from 20 years ago, you still, well, it's quick cars, but still the drivability is something completely different. And that's really impressive what they are doing. And to have a job like I do, it's fantastic. Yeah, so you are still feeling like a young boy driving with a nice toy.
It's funny you should say that, because you are a high performance racing driver. You're driving this high performance supercar to very high speeds. You mentioned at the start of the podcast, and by the way, you look fantastic on it, that you're in your 50s. You must have to keep physically fit to do this job.
Well, yeah, that's always good if you're physical fit. For sure, I'm not as fit as 20 years ago when I was racing, but you still have to be ready for all the time. You travel a lot, you're in different countries, so yeah, stay healthy, stay fit, and be focused what you have to do. So I love to live a life like that, because it's always getting forward and not backwards. So I'm still looking always forward. If it's Christmas, I'm looking forward for the start of the season.
And you mentioned technology. I understand that the fuel that's in this car is changed as well.
Correct. This is now, well, there are so many steps, but the fuel, absolutely. It's from this Grand Prix onwards, for the next 18 Grand Prix, we are driving with sustainable fuel. That's absolutely perfect. With both brands, that's the first step for the 100% sustainable fuels for 2026, what all the F1 cars are using from that year onwards. So it's great. It's always a step forward, and that's absolutely high performance. That's Formula One, and that's, I think, why we are all very proud to be here.
One thing I would like to ask, how's the job changed in the years that you've been doing it?
Well, in the end, I still do somehow the same thing. I have more options to communicate in a much simpler, better way. So we also learned a lot from our experiences from the years before. And in the end, it's the same thing, but we're getting so professional. The decisions getting taken much quicker. The cars getting quicker. The technology, we have more information, we can make a better decision, so that's very important. And in the end, it's still somehow the same, but we have much more opportunities.
Ben, pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on F1 Explained.
No problem, it's a pleasure from my side. Thank you very much.
So much to learn about the safety car. Bern, thank you so much for your time here on F1 Explains and hanging out with Christian there in Miami. And can we just once again get an encore of Christian's response to potentially maybe just happen chance getting into the driver's seat?
Absolutely. Where you want to sit? You want to sit on the driver's side? It's up to you.
What? Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Without question, I would like to sit on the driver's side.
Yeah, all right, fine. I did say that quite quickly, didn't I? Yeah. Listen, I don't need to be asked twice. That's a cool thing. I've spent a lot of my life watching safety cars. You don't get this opportunity very often. I was straight in. Like, yeah, I want to do that.
Oh, that is so fun. You know, one thing Bernd mentioned earlier is the virtual safety car, or VSC. So when the VSC is active, the race is neutralized. All of the drivers have to slow down and stick to the same speed. So the gaps between them stays the same until it's safe to go back to full racing again. It's still safer for marshals, but less disruptive than a regular safety car. And, you know, honestly, Christian, I want your take on this. I get a little bit confused as a viewer in this sometimes when we do see the VSC. How do drivers know the exact gap and the exact amount of time that they have to exactly stay between driver?
Yeah, it's a good question. So they have a sort of timing system on their steering wheel that shows them. They call it a delta, and it shows them exactly how quick they need to be. So if they're going too quickly, it will flash red. If they're within the right speed, it will say green, and it will also say, for example, -4 seconds. So that would mean they're 4 seconds back. They could close up 4 seconds on the car in front, or even -5/10 of a second. So what you're trying to do as a driver is stay as close to zero on your delta as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So you're not losing time behind your rival when the race restarts. But crucially, you can't go over, because if you stay over and go into the red for too long, you're going to get a penalty for speeding under the virtual safety car.
You know what? That is one of those things that for years I've wondered. So thank you. That is... Thank you, Christian.
There you go. And it's all on the steering wheel. And if you want to know a little bit more about what's on a driver's steering wheel, that is an episode we've done. Just scroll back on this feed here on F1 Explains. Now, thank you to Conrad in Wisconsin, Sophie, and the many others of you who sent us your questions about the safety car. We hope we answered them. Thanks also to Bernd and the lovely people at the FIA for making that happen. And Katie, I don't know about you. You might want to listen to another Formula One podcast.
Or even
more about Bernd himself. Well,
for sure.
Check out his episode of another official F1 podcast, Beyond the Grid, with Tom Clarkson. You can search for that right here on this podcast app. Just search Beyond the Grid, scroll down on the feed, and you'll find his interview with Tom to learn more about the life and times of Bernd Mailander.
I'm curious if they talked about how he packs a suitcase every weekend. And while you're there, leave us a rating, a review, share the podcast with a friend. We'd love that. We love building our F1 Explains community. Thank you to those who have already done that. You can also send us a note, an email, a question, a voice note at F1explains@F1.com. And we'll be back with you next week. We are really excited to do so. For Christian and I, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye for now.